We told you earlier on when we was preaching that was kind of leading up to Paul's another exhortation or teaching on spiritual gifts. And if we're going to be where we can be, have a gift, have God use us, in other words, we got to be transformed. We've got to present ourselves to God. We've got to make make ourselves available. Too many times we talk about this stuff and we say we want to, but we don't make ourselves available. We don't take that vessel and work it over or do the part we're supposed to, presenting it to God, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We don't do our part. You understand? We just come to church, we hear a message, oh yeah, that was good, and go home. Might even tell the preacher, boy, that was a good message today. Well, if that message was so good, why didn't it transform you? Or if it's so good, why didn't you receive it and begin to apply it so that it could transform your life and make you that Christian that God wants you to be? You don't really need to be the kind of Christian I want you to be. You need to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. And to find out what that is, you look at the Word of God. Amen? We look at the Word of God. So anyway, here's what it says today. And God wants us all to serve Him. You didn't get saved to sit on a pew. You didn't get saved just to make a preacher happy by showing up on Sunday. You didn't get saved just to come and put your dollar in the offering pan so that the church will have some money. That's not what you're here to serve God. And that encompasses a lot of different areas in your life. And it'll touch, when you really sell out to God, it'll touch every aspect of your life. People don't like to think about that because we like to keep some of that stuff to ourselves and want to control our lives to somewhat. We don't want to sell out to God. I was talking to a person. We're going to have a new bishop in our district here shortly, and because our former one just resigned and took a church. He's going to resign, I think, tomorrow, and he's took a church, and we're going to have an election. So I was talking to one of my friends about it, and I wasn't promoting any one person. I said, you know what? Here's my thinking on that. If we as Spirit-filled believers, which we're supposed to be, would all go to our prayer closet and pray, not talk about it, not discuss it over dinner, not start calling names who we might think would be the one to take the place to be elected. If we as Spirit-filled believers would go to our own prayer closets and seek the face and the will of God, we would come to that convention here in about a month. We'd walk in there and start casting our ballots, and it would become immediately clear what the will of God was. Because one name would all of a sudden be at the top. It would just come together so beautifully if we'd just do that. And that's what I intend to do. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to ask God what He wants to do. Who He wants to lead this organization, the Oklahoma State, part of the Pentecostal Church of God. I want God's will. That's all I want. Amen? Isn't that what you want in your life is simply God's will? Well, God's will for you is for you to serve Him. In whatever capacity you have the ability or the gifting, that's what God wants for you. Now let's look what the Word of God says. Now after we read those first two scriptures, I'm gonna quit reading them to you. I'm not gonna read them no more today. Anyway, that's my intent. He goes on to say, Paul says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And I'll stop right there. There's a lot more. I'm going to read one more verse just so. "Let love be without hypocrisy." I'll just stop right there. And through it all, let love be without hypocrisy. I'm not even going to preach that, I don't think, but I wanted to throw that one in. So, first off, what the Apostle Paul says to us, that we need to understand that there's been some grace bestowed on all of us. Not just saving grace, but grace to perform what God needs you to perform in your life. Grace for you to come up to line up at the starting line, if you would, and begin to do what? Make yourself available. Grace to make yourself available. That's a better way to say that. God wants you to step up and because you have received divine, undeserved favor that God has bestowed on you. So God wants you to step up. It's time. Do you understand that Jesus may come this year? Have you got that into your spirit? Have you been looking at what's going on? Do you understand time is short? Can I throw that in there? Time is short. Some of us have reached our 60s. If we're going to do something for God, we might ought to start doing it. Instead of sitting back, waiting on somebody else, sitting back wondering, well, do I really have a gifting? Am I really called? Can God use me? Yes, He can. He has given everybody a measure of faith to perform the gift that He's bestowed on you. He doesn't expect you to have the same gift as me. He doesn't expect you to operate like I do. Nor does He expect me to be you. But God expects you to do your part. You think, you know what? We'd be in a position to push these walls out if everybody do their part. If everybody for the last 25 years had done their part instead of being babies, we would have already pushed these walls out and built a bigger sanctuary. Well, not necessary, preacher. I believe it's to be so. I believe if we'd all get on the same, in the same boat, get the same mind, have the same goal, have same vision, which is the vision of the Word of God, to do everything we can to please God, that we would have grown greatly in the last 25 years. There's a word I wanted to use, but I couldn't say it properly. That word, yes. I want you to say that for me. We would have grown
exponentially.
Say it loud. I say it loud.
Exponentially.
I don't bug my eyes like that. Don't say it without bugging your eyes. We would have grown. Maybe not great big, but we'd be bigger than we were. And we'd be more faithful than what we are. We'd be doing more for the kingdom than what we are. Folks, He's given us all a measure of grace. He saved us to the uttermost. He didn't save you to sit on the sideline. He didn't save you to be a spectator. He didn't save you to get up in. You ever seen them football stadiums and basketball stadiums that they have anymore? Man, them cheap tickets, I don't know how they can't see nothing. They're way up at the top. It looks like ants down there playing basketball. He didn't save you to get up there. He saved you to get on the sideline and say, put me in, coach. I'm ready. Why am I pastoring today? Because I stepped up to the court side and I said, coach, I want to play. I want in the game. I have gift. You've called me. I want to use my gift. So He made a place for me. You want to use your gifting. There's places in the church for you to use your giftings. Now, He gave you grace. He gave Paul spiritual authority. Paul didn't ask for it. Paul was one of the sorriest individuals that ever lived. Before he got saved, he was one sorry individual. He was a spiritual bigot. He was a murderer. He did all kinds of things. In the name of religion, he did it. He was Apostle Paul was a murderer. He was a Pharisee upon Pharisee. He did everything exactly right, but he missed the mark. But when he got saved on the road to Damascus, everything changed. And he come under spiritual authority of Almighty God. Said, here I am, Lord. Use me. I'm available. I saw the error of my way. I realized I have something better to be and something better to do than chase Christians. I need to join them. I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to join the team. That's what he did. So he became a spiritual leader. Look at 1 Corinthians, talking about this grace, 1 Corinthians 3:10. If you'll just turn over there with me just briefly. And it goes like this right here. It says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let us each take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we have to understand, he says, I've been called by grace to be a wise master builder, and I've laid the foundation. I got in the game. I put my tool belt on. And I got in the game. I'm using what God gave me the grace to do it, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Paul understood about all these different things. He understood about the message of the cross, and he understood that he had a job to do, and that job was to please God and to get in there and do everything he was supposed to do. But he also understood this, that Paul, Apollos, Peter, all the other ministers were equal workers in the field, but the spiritual life from the field, to be put into the field is completely dependent upon God's grace and power. We got called it by His grace. We've been put into the game by His grace, and by His spiritual power, He's allowed us to work for Him. Paul understood he wasn't better than any of the other preachers. He was just being called by grace. He'd been empowered by God, and he was going to do the work alongside Peter, alongside Timothy, alongside Apollos, alongside all of them, so he could further the gospel. None of us are better than any others. All are important, regardless of the gift. I can go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and show that to you. I can probably show you right here before we get through if I need to. We are all important. Every person in here has a gift and a calling of God, and you are important to the kingdom of God, and you're important to the body of Christ, this local body in particular. You are important to it. I don't care what your role is, you are important to this body. If you're, whether you're a singer, whether you clean the church, whether you pick up a speck of paper, you come to church and you study your lesson, you participate in the Sunday school class, whatever, you might mow the lawn, you may come for a work day, whatever it is you do, whatever your gifting and calling is, you need to get in there and use it. You may have a gift of encouragement. Get in there and be an encourager. You may have a gift of prayer, a prayer warrior. Get in there and pray. You might be a person that you can give great exhortation to people. Exhort to them. Build them up. Lead them to Jesus. Use your gift. You may be an encourager. Well, be an encourager. Encourage people. Write cards. Call them up. Don't call to gossip. Call them up and say, hey, I just want to call and say I love you. And we, church loves you, and we just want you to know we care. How many of you call people when they don't come to church? I'm asking you a question. How many call people when they don't come to church? How many send them a card because you love them, you want to care? Yeah, we got a lot of gifts, people, gift of encouragement in this church, don't we? How many of you like to receive some kind of encouragement? Come on, get your hands up. Quit lying to God. Why wouldn't you want it? That's a very simple thing you could do to bless people. You know what your pastor does? Every week, and it's getting old, by the way. I do it every week. I send a word of encouragement to about 50 pastors. I have no reason to do it other than I just started doing it to one or two, and I said, well, might as well do it to everybody else in my phone list. I don't send it to you guys all the time. Every now and then I do. Fact is, I sent some of you one this morning. Everybody was missing a while ago during the last song we singing. I sent them that little prayer. I pray God to bless you. I sent that to everybody's missing this morning. Why was that? Because I wanted to be an encourager to those that are missing today. Let them know I'm thinking about you. I have you on my mind. I miss you today. That's a simple thing. Boy, Pastor, you're just going crazy. Yeah, I am kind of shotgunning it. I understand that. I hadn't got past very much yet, have I? I'm trying to be led of the Spirit of God this morning, church. We got work to do, and the time is short. Time's short. So Paul says, I have authority, but I understand about the grace that God has given me. And then he talks about, see, when you have the authority, when God's gifted you, even whether it's authority or just a gifting, you do it with humility. Do you understand that? You do it with humility. You don't get proud and puffed up in that. You don't think, well, I'm somebody. I could give you an example, but it's a little bit close to home right now. It's not in this church, but it's real close by. And people who got some authority, and sometimes people get authority, and it just, I mean, it goes to their head, and they're just like, I've got the authority. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you. We're not laborers together, sir. You are working for me because I have the authority. That's not the way it is. We are laborers together with Christ. We work together. Yes, there is people of authority and there's chain of command. I understand that. But Paul said, just because you're the head doesn't mean that the others down here are not important. Maybe more important than you. When you really get right down to it. Come on now. So you got to live and walk in humility. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 2. Excuse me, chapter 1 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Paul wrote this to Timothy, his son in the Lord. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me. First off, he says, I thank Jesus who has enabled me because he counted me faithful. Why did Christ enable him? Because he saw that Paul was faithful, putting me into ministry. That should be all of our prayer, and that's my prayer. I thank God. I give God praise. I thank God that he saw that I was able. I was able to do ministry. Sometimes I don't know what he thought. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know why he saw it. Come on, Lord. I don't believe you. Have you ever felt that way about stuff? I just don't believe it. Couldn't be God. Well, it is too. Paul says he saw me. He enabled me. He counted me faithful. He put me into ministry. And he did that in spite of the fact that I was a blasphemer. Somebody looked at me funny a while ago when I said Paul was a scoundrel and a pretty sorry dude. Look at what Paul says about himself. I was a blasphemer. I was a persecutor. I was an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of God was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what he's saying now? He's saying, I didn't deserve to be called, but God saw my life. God saved me. He called me into ministry. I thank God for that. I thank God for the Holy Spirit that gives me the ability to do righteous works. I used to be a blasphemer. I used to be a persecutor. I used to be insolent, but God has delivered me, and God has put me into ministry. And because of what I used to be, I don't get really puffed up in what I have become, because I understand it was simply by the grace of God. That's what he's saying. Simply by the grace of God that I do what I do. And that should be in all of our thinking. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be that insolent man, that blasphemer, that persecutor, that robber, that thief, that whatever, that drunkard, that dope addict, that adulterer, that fornicator. I'd be all those things if it wasn't for God. So don't get thinking too highly. He said, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Some of us do. Some people get a position of authority and they get to feeling like, I've arrived, I'm here, I'm that. No, you ain't all that, but he is all that. God's all that. He ain't proud and puffed up, though, but he's God. If anybody, any being has the right to be proud and puffed up, high and lifted up, it's God our Savior. It's God in heaven. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our soon coming King. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And guess what? He is coming again soon. So Paul, we're trying to teach you something here today about humility and the gifts. So he says, because of it produces humility in you when you realize what God's doing, you should walk soberly. You should walk soberly. And the word sober means to be balanced. sane in your mind, or in be in your right mind. Walk soberly. Don't get puffed up. Don't get proud. Walk sanely. Be in your right mind. Think straight. Come on now. You need to understand that you're not better than anybody else. You need to, you know, you need to not think of yourself you should think of yourself wisely and accurately so that you can make sane and well-balanced decisions. Walk soberly. Many times we don't. We may get some things right, but boy, when we get certain things approaches, we get crazy. We don't stay sane. We don't think properly. We get, how many of you can get mad at the drop of a hat? You can't? Well, I think most of us can't. Depends on what it is. Most of us, we can go from pleasant to just downright ugly, just like that. Depends on what it is. The word spoken or the deed done. Maybe it's your mood that day. Maybe it's your lack of spirituality that day, your lack of prayer that day. You know, and then something said or done and it just, boom, sets you off. Paul says, don't do that. Keep your right mind. Walk soberly. Look at 1 Peter 5:5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, where'd I get that at? Younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Then he says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So what's that mean? We are to submit ourselves to our spiritual leaders in the church, give honor, give deference to them, show respect to our leaders. Submission is a fundamental of spiritual submission. Well, I didn't come out right, did it? Submission is a fundamental attitude of spiritual maturity. We all have to submit to somebody. I'm your pastor, but I submit to those above me. I submit to those some in the church that have, you know, we all in submission to one another. There's times I've wanted to do some things and I've submitted to the will of the board because they didn't think it was a good timing or a good idea. And although I thought it was, I submitted to them, those three guys' will. Mutual submission. But I've went to a board meeting. I said, guys, I understand you kind of got some, you know, problems with this, but this is my thinking, and they've submitted to my ideas. But yet there's been some of you come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to do something like this. What have I done? I say, now get out of here. I'm in authority. Have I ever done you that way? Usually I'll listen to you and then I'll think about it. I'll tell you I'm going to think about it. Or if it's a good idea, I say, we might try that. We might just try that. But it's mutual submission. It's not that I'm better than you are. I walk and try to walk humble before all men. I don't have all the answers, but neither do you. Do you understand? Paul said we got to be humble and submissive, sane. Walk in your right minds. Don't get puffed up. Don't get too proud. So we do that. So we are clothed in humility in that process. And so he understood it means to tie something to oneself with a knot or a bow. So let's be clothed in humility. Tie it to yourself. Tie a good knot. Tie yourself in humility. You know what I mean? You know, you tie yourself, like a slave may have put an apron over their clothes in order to keep the clothes clean. So tie it to yourself, humility. It'll keep you clean. Don't get too puffed up. Don't get proud. All of us have spiritual gifts and callings. And they're all important to the body of Christ. Every single one of them. I gotta hurry. I'm running out of time. Of course, any more that don't bother me, I'll just come back and do it again next week. Of course, I noticed they thought I was going to this week and they stayed home. So maybe I... So let's move on. So he says he gives every person a measure of faith. For we are members of one body, But all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ. But he gives us all the measure of faith. A correct proportion of faith for the gift that he's given you. He gives you the faith you need to perform the gift and the calling he's placed in your life. Enough for you to accept that gifting, and enough for you to perform that gifting. He empowers us to fulfill his call, to fulfill his will. So, Pastor, I just can't do it. Why not? He has given you the faith you need. He has empowered you with the power you need. He's right there with you to help you succeed. Why can't you do it? If you can't do it, it's because you're not submitting. You're not submissive. You're not conformed to him. Instead, you're conformed to the world. You become afraid. When God said, I've gifted everybody, and this is what you need to do, you need to renew your mind. You need to understand this grace. You need to walk soberly. I've given you a measure of faith, or other words, supernatural endowment and ability that the Holy Spirit gives. How many believe we walk in the Spirit? We're led of the Spirit. We're empowered by the Spirit. Absolutely. We're Spirit-filled people, aren't we? Some of us have been filled with the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. The Bible said you'd be endued with power when the Holy Ghost came down. Is that what he said? Well, we're supposed to be Spirit-filled believers. I know it don't say it on our sign down there. But when you walk in this church, you should know we're a Holy Ghost-believing bunch of people. We believe in the move of the Spirit. We don't mind shouting once in a while. We don't mind raising our hands. We don't mind about dancing. Talking in tongues out loud. I know a lot of you don't do that, but that's okay. We're Spirit-filled people. He has endued us with power to perform great and mighty feats on his behalf. But we need to use the giftings he's given us. I don't know what your gift is, but you do. It's not some big secret. It might be a secret to me, but it's not a secret to you. God, you know what God's gifted you with. Some of you, I might need to rephrase that, but anyway, I'll leave that alone. I'll go with that another day. This faith is not a, look at 1 Peter 4:10 first. Let's go there for just a minute. 1 Peter 4:10. He's given us that measure of faith. And he says this in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's given us all gifts, and then Peter says, minister to one another. He didn't say, I gave you a gift for you to sit on it, for you to be puffed up and proud. Look at the gift I have. He says, no, the gift has been given that you might minister as good stewards to one another. You don't get it just to have it. You get it to use it. I don't care what the gift is, he gave it to you to use for his glory. And to edify one another. To build up one another. Use it to minister it to one another as good stewards. What the Peter said to the church. You use it to minister to others. Do you understand? It's a graciously given, supernaturally designed ability granted to every believer, which the Holy Spirit ministers to the body of Christ. It's a free gift that's been given to you. You didn't have to buy it. You didn't have to stand in line to purchase that thing. It was given to you severally or divided how that the Spirit of God would give it to you, because he knows what the best gift is for each individual. And then the Bible teaches us another portion of Scripture, desire the best gift for you. Didn't say you'd have all the gifts in operation, but everyone has a gift from God in their lives. And he says, desire what would be the best gift for you so that you could function appropriately to build and edify and be good stewards of the gift. Folks, God wants to use you. He wants you to be productive in his kingdom. He wants you to do that. See, your gift cannot be earned, pursued, or worked up. It is merely received as a part of the grace of God. Kidding me, Pastor? You mean I'm gifted? Absolutely. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. I don't. Some of you do. Some of you have been given a gift of there's just all kinds of gifts. I don't want to start naming them. You'd have to go back. There's a list of them, and those lists are not conclusive, just representative. The list. You got 9 gifts mentioned over in 1 Corinthians. I believe it's the 10th chapter. You got several gifts mentioned here. If I start reading them here, just meant you got gifts right here. Mentioned right here. There's different gifts. And everybody can fit into some category. Some gifting. It's yours. It's a gift of grace that God has given to us. We need to minister that gift. We need to encourage one another. These gifts have been given unto us. We have specific gifts or a combination of the gifts. We are to minister the gift to each other as good steward of another person's resources. As good stewards of another person's resources. Who is the other person? The Lord. He's given you gifts. It's His resources that He's allowed you to use. Once He gives you the gift, you're responsible for the gifting to use it for His glory and to edify others as good stewards of the gift that God has given you. Oh, I don't think I like this. That means I have responsibility. It means God's expecting something out of me. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He expects something out of you. The same as He would me. I'm operating in my gift. I was called to pastor. Probably a sub-gift would be to... I won't even say that that's a really gifting. I can sing a little, so that might be a subgroup. But my main gifting is pastoral work. That's my gifting. I knew it when He called me to preach. I'd be a pastor one day. It's despite my terrible attitude and atrocious bedside manners and futile attempts at humor. I knew what God had called me to do. And many looked at it and said, God has made a mistake. But God doesn't make mistakes. But you have giftings. I want to say this to you in closing. Thank God you haven't been called to be a pastor. It's a tough job. With immense responsibility. That'll absolutely cut your heart out at times. Yet is so rewarding. But be glad you can be. My wife and I talk about it once in a while. I sure wish I could go back to being just a church member. Helping somebody else. I could really be a good church member now. I thought I was a good one then. I could really be a good one now. A pastor would like to see me coming because I know how to treat a pastor. Until he preaches something I don't like. That's people's attitude, by the way. First time he preaches something they don't like, they just say, I'm out of here. Can't handle this. Why? The Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit. Revealing the inner workings of a man and showing us where we're at. Why would you run from that? Lord, do the surgery. Make me better than new. That's what I'd like, wouldn't you? Folks, we have giftings and callings according to a measure of faith that Christ has given us. Verse 4 says, we are many members, but we're one body. Many members, one body. Each one of you are part of the body of Christ. Just because you're not the head or the leader of this church doesn't mean that you're part is unimportant. The Bible speaks to that. I believe it's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter through the 12th chapter. Talks about the body, the different parts, the good-looking parts, and then the ugly parts that are unseen. I guarantee you, you all understand if I would give you the analogy of the colon and all the workings, you know, your digestive system. You know, if that gets messed up, the rest of the body's in trouble. Or if you get a cancer on a kidney, or you get lung cancer, or you get some other sickness, you understand that although this body may be beautiful to look at, and the head and all this outward may be beautiful, if that inside ain't working, it takes it all working together. And that's how the Bible describes it. It talks about the hand and the foot and all the different parts, how important they are. And each one of you are very important to the kingdom. And very, very important to this local body. Can I say this as your pastor? I need you. I need you. And I need you to use your gifts. Time's short. Let's get busy for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Stand with me.